yes. To be like him. Amen. Let's sing it one more time. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask, amen, to be like him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Look over here to this side and see both the brothers missing. It's like the pulpit's unbalanced. Continue to remember Brother Jimmy in prayer. I tell you, it's no fun being sick anytime. But when the weather starts getting nicer, it's really no fun being sick. But there's a lot of that pollen flying around everywhere. And so it's affecting different people and that. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us in this service, direct us through the scriptures this morning, and through the message, Lord, and help us and give us understanding. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, begin at verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. It's very easy to get weary in well-doing, especially when you feel like you've done all that you could do to help maybe somebody, and they turn around and just like spit in your face over it. Seems like sometimes for some people, and they just walk away and leave it, like no appreciation at all. Those are the ones where there's the places where we get weary. But the Bible says, don't get weary with those things, because this isn't your season to reap. Our season to reap is yet coming. It's off in the future. You'll reap what you've done. It doesn't matter when you do something good for people. It doesn't matter what they do with it. That's not what that God's basing your reward on. It's what you did. Whether they walked over it or whatever, didn't appreciate it. It's hard when you do things and you feel like you're not appreciated. It's hard being a parent, because that's generally the way it is. You do things and you sacrifice, and they won't know till they get older and begin to have their own children. Then when they begin to sacrifice, then they'll start thinking, boy, now I can see what mom and dad, why they were the way they were. You might not think it, but time tarries. You become your mom or you become your dad. It happens. And when you're young, you think, no, I ain't a thing like them. But it'll creep up on you. And one day, you'll get older and you'll be like, oh my goodness. I'm just like him or I'm just like her. Be not weary in well-doing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us be good unto all men. You know, when you have the opportunity to do good, do good. You're going to be rewarded in due season. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. Brother Branham says, you need to take care of your own first. Before you start going out there, you need to take care of your own first. All right, that's the first way of looking at this scripture. Now I want to look at it from a different perspective. And I want to share some things with you and hopefully help you to understand. And from where I stand. Brother Branham said in one message, said, I get tired. I get physically wore out. I have difficulties that other people don't have. Satan fights me day and night all the time. I have a battle that no one knows about. That goes for any minister. I know one another, we might not know what the other one's going through or how what the degree of what they're going through, but I can tell you this, when you're in the ministry, and especially when you're responsible for people, you're responsible for what you say to them, you're responsible for their souls. It's a battle that nobody else knows about. You have difficulties that are different. When you realize that you've got to answer for every soul that's ever set under your voice. Not for what they done with what was said, but for what you said. The man says, I get weary. I look over here and I see this going on and I see that going on. That makes a person weary. They look and they see things going on here and things going on there. When it seems like that you have addressed things and it seems like there's no progress. Sometimes it seems like you didn't make any headway. It gets discouraging. It's easy to become weary with it. It's easy to become frustrated. And the thing about it is, if you get frustrated, you can't help the people. When you get weary with it, when I get weary with it, then I can't be no help to you. Brother Branham, here in that day on Calvary, he talks about different things that he does when he gets that way, gets weary. And he says, just think, anything you can think of that you like to do, but what once in a while you tire in doing it. Charlie, I guess you and I have squirrel hunted more than anything that we like to do in that way of that, but you know, you get tired of doing it. And I like to hike, and I like to go into the mountains and just hike. But I get tired sometimes and want to do something else. And he says, and I like to drive. And sometimes I kind of feeling kind of tired and worn out, nerves on edge, and I just jump in my car and take off. That's one of my things. Jump in the car and take off. Only thing, when I take off, I can drive from one exit to the other down here in Dixon, and all it makes me want to do is keep on driving. Keep going. Here's another way of getting weary. Brother Branham said, people say to me, I know you're saying all the time, and I know you get tired of me harping on those things. So Brother Ram's talking about going over the same thing, seemed like over and over and over again. And he says, I know you get tired of me harping on those things. He says, I get tired of seeing you do it too. That's right. This sin that I'm trying to tell you about, why are you harping on it for? Stop doing it then. I'm trying to save your life by the word. I get tired also. So just straighten up. It shouldn't be done. We ought to overcome these things. We expect to be tempted by them, but we're to overcome them. Now here's something I came across that really was quite shocking to me. Brother Branham talked about when he got tired and worn out and become weary. And he says, and I become dense and dull-like. He said, when I get tired and worn, the senses of this gift become more or less dull. I think the fellow on anything natural would. After you got so long, you become kind of dull, senses bound. But I trust God to give us a fresh start. I thought about that, that gift, after a while it becomes dull. It answers some questions for me. Because there's times when, and I know that as long as I keep the flow from between me and heaven open, the messages will keep coming. But there's some times when you're looking for inspiration and it seems like it escapes you. And it seems like that there's times when it just seems like you get inspired and you can't hardly get that out, and you're inspired with something else and you can't really get that out, and you got something else going on over here, and then I'll get inspired on something. I'll take off on a series and be preaching on a line of thinking for a while. And when that happens, sometimes I don't know how long I'm going to go on in that subject. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. Then there's times when it seems like it shuts down. And I know it's not him shutting down. But I know sometimes I just get tired. It's me. I get weary. I get tired. There's times when he'll put me through tests. There's been times early on when I first was pastoring here, there was times where I would come down to a Saturday and have no idea what I was preaching the next day. And I could go in and sit down and read. I could go in and sit down and listen to a tape. Didn't do me one bit of good. I had to wait, if you can understand, I had to wait for inspiration to strike me. And then from there, then I could go on and preach something. And I remember one particular Saturday. It happened to me actually 2 weeks in a row. And I've done everything I could and couldn't seem to get no inspiration. And then I can't remember exactly, but there was something going on. And I reacted. I think it had something to do with the plumbing. And I got aggravated about the plumbing and kind of reacted off a little bit because of having to deal with it on a Saturday. And I snapped a little bit at Mina. And then I was sitting there feeling self-righteous. And all of a sudden, come to me and said, go tell her you're sorry. And I said, I don't feel like I'm sorry. You ever been there, or am I the only human in here? I wasn't feeling sorry. I wasn't feeling like it was my fault. But they come again and said, go tell her you're sorry. And so I did, and the inspiration hit me. And I come and preach the message, I'm sorry. About how you go and tell somebody you're sorry. Then the very next week, Mina did something. And I've started feeling that self-indignation, you know. And then he came to me and said, you're the forgiver. Well, she didn't ask me to forgive her. I don't even know if she sees what she done was wrong. She didn't ask me to forgive her. He said, you forgive her anyway. So that Sunday I come and preach the message on saying, I forgive you. Now, it was just little things like that that would happen. And it brings inspiration. Sometimes it's something somebody says to you. Sometimes it's something where you get out and you'll get inspiration from something that you would never think in a million years that you would get the inspiration from. Who would have ever thought that somebody could get inspiration for a message off a pack of cigarettes? A thinking man's filter. The whole slogan was a smoking man's taste, a thinking man's filter. That was the whole slogan. And Brother Branham preached the message on it. But where did he find that empty pack of cigarettes? He didn't find it on his doorstep. He didn't find it out in his driveway. He didn't even find it downtown where he lived. He was out in the woods somewhere, away from everybody, in a very unlikely place to find an empty pack of cigarettes. But here he finds it. Why did he ever go over and pick it up and read it? You could tell from a distance that it was a empty pack of cigarettes. It was a cigarette pack. What made him go over and pick it up and read it? See, something directed him there. Not only was he supposed to be there, but whoever was the litter bug was supposed to throw that down there. Now, God could have had him throw it down anywhere, but he didn't. He had him throw it down somewhere where Brother Branham was out by himself, away from everybody, to where he could really bring him the inspiration. I know Brother Phil knows what I'm talking about here. There's times you get out and you take a walk. And I like walking in the woods. I don't do it quite as much as I used to. But I like getting out. And I had two little Datsuns. I only got one now. But I had two little Datsuns that loved to go for a walk with me in the woods, and they liked to hunt. And I would go back in the woods somewhere and find me a log to sit on, and I'd sit there looking down. There was a big gully went down in behind my house. And I'd sit way up there toward the top and watch down through there as they went to hunting for stuff. And I could sit out there to myself like that, and sometimes inspiration would come to me. You never know how it's going to come. Sometimes inspiration comes to me when I'm driving. And the longer I have in the vehicle driving, the more times inspiration will end up coming. I read and look up stuff, study on things, and gather a lot of information. And I got nowhere to plug it all in together. It's just like I'm gathering input, more input, more input, more input. And then I'll go out driving, and everything I read and the things that I listened to and heard, tapes and so on. Sometimes I'll have a tape going in the vehicle. But things that I'd been studying on, all of a sudden I get inspired, and then all of a sudden it's just like a puzzle coming together. They begin to fit. A lot of times on the way to church, on Sunday mornings especially, I don't really like to talk. You know, me and Mina's in the car, and sometimes Will, and things like that, and I don't want to talk. I don't feel like talking. And the reason why is because my mind is on what I'm going to preach. And I'm going back over what I call studying it in my mind. And all the things that I've been putting together and studying, then more things might come to me. Or something that I've read might open up more to me. But I thought that was really something. Brother Bram says when he gets tired and worn, the senses of his gift become dull. And that's what happens sometimes. That gift that you have for the Lord to come and speak to you and get messages together, sometimes it gets dull. And it needs to get refreshed. And Brother Branham says here, the way to get it refreshed is to rest. You've got to take some rest. Brother Branham said concerning John, the Revelator. You know, and I know I've said this to you before, but Brother Branham says the reason God got him sent out there exiled on the Isle of Patmos was to get him away from everybody so that he could go to talking to him then. Brother Bram says, sometimes I get all wound up and my nerves just jumping up and down in my body. You ever been there? Seemed like you've been going through something and something's happening, your nerves are just all up and you're all nervous and you don't know exactly why you're nervous and you got all this pent up and you're all wound up about it. Brother Bram says, when I get wound up till I got to go somewhere and unwind, he said, I get wound up to where I can't go no further. And I start thinking about a hunting trip or a fishing trip. A lot of times, he says, I get around here and I laugh and I cut up and I say things. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to let off some of that wound up feeling in me. You see, just isn't that I want to do that. It isn't even maybe that I want to laugh. But I come down here and get with Brother Welch so I can hear him tell some little funny story about a little boy catching fish, and the warden caught him, and he said he was catching turtle baits. Something, you know, on that order. And he said, I was telling these little girls today about a little dog, a poodle dog, being a fifi. And you know what I'm doing that for? To laugh, to make myself laugh and bring myself down. I know that there are people that get misunderstanding sometimes of how preachers are, if they aren't, you know, if all they ever see is them in the pulpit. And we'll get out somewhere. I got out with Brother Danny Steeman one time, and me and him went and preached a youth meeting. And there was pressure on us. And it was a pressure about the meetings. It was a pressure about that we were dealing with young people. And then it was, you know, two services a day and activities and all, you know, and it just seemed like just all, you know, how you would do something like that. You have a lot of things all packed in together. And we'd get off to ourselves and get to cutting up. And I said, I know if people saw us right now, they'd think we're two of the most carnal individuals they ever seen. Some of y'all have been out with me and see how we, some people think that all preachers do is talk about spiritual stuff all the time. That's not true. Sometimes you got to get your head out of that. Sometimes, and the Bible says that laughter is good for the soul. It's good to laugh. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Brother Branham, one time, he was speaking of 1960 and the message of Rejected King. And he tells about a time when he was in the hospital. And he had actually got to a place where he could have went on home. But he didn't. He stayed in the hospital. And he said, they gave me the room for about one-third the price. So he said, I took my Bible and my books, and I got my bed turned up. And he says, and I just sat in the hospital reading and studying. He could have went home. But if he went home, what would have been waiting on him? People. People would have been waiting on him. More and more things to do. But he took time and just said, well, I'm just going to stay in the hospital a few extra days. Because I got some peace and some rest here. And I can just read. So I'm just going to stay in here a few more days. Now, they must not have told the people where he was. Because if they had, people would have probably been packed and lined up at that hospital. While Brother Branham was here, people didn't understand him. They didn't understand what he went through. They didn't understand what he felt. Sometimes they didn't even understand that he was human. A lot of times all they knew about was their problem, their need, and how they wanted to get to that gift. They didn't think about what Brother Branham might have needed or how it was affecting him or what he was going through. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip, maybe, that those people have, not that at all. But I'm saying Brother Branham knew what he had, what he went through. He says here, he says, I have to get out sometime somewhere and give vent to myself because I get so weak I can't hardly go. And it's like your strength is just gone. And I have to get out just a little while. He said, I just come off such a trip down in Kentucky where I was hunting. So he just came off a trip. Such a trip where he could get away and get off. He just got back. And he says, I got to get out again. Huh. He was talking about being in his office in this message without money or without price. He was talking about being in his office and how busy it got and the phone calls and all that were coming in and the other people who worked in the office with him and how busy they were and how busy the whole thing was. And he says, and then my phone calls and everything, and soon it gets on your nerves. You mean people calling him having needs would get on his nerves? It would get to a point where the phone rang. It would just rack his nerves. And he says, and that's the reason I have to get out somewhere once in a while and do something different. Do something different. But I thought he was there to help the people. But friends, if he didn't soon take care of himself, he wouldn't be able to help the people. Well, how long did he have to take off? The Bible says one time Jesus took off from the disciples for 40 days. What were the disciples doing during that time? You imagine there was any of them griping? Well, I'll tell you what, he's only been gone 2 weeks. Why he ain't come back yet. 40 days. 40 days. That's more than 4 weeks. 40 days. You say, yeah, but he was being tempted by the devil. Yeah, but it was the Holy Spirit that led him to go off for 40 days. That's what the Bible says. There was a time when the disciples, the apostles, were out and they were preaching and they were teaching and they were doing the things how that Jesus had commissioned them to do. And after they had been doing this for a certain amount of time, they all came back to Jesus and they were all telling Jesus. The Bible says they were told him both what they had done and what they had taught. This is in the book of Mark, chapter 6. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Jesus said, you know what, boys? Y'all need a vacation. You need to take some time off. You need to get away from the people so that you can rest. Why? So you can get back out there among them. I was talking today to the brother, and Brother Bram says this in thy house. And he said, you say, well, Brother Branham, if you believe the rapture is so close, then why do you go fishing? Now think about it now. If you believe the rapture is so close, then that means we only got a little bit of time to get in, everybody. We only got a little bit of time left to get in all those that are going to be saved. If you believe it's so close to coming, then why are you wasting time, is what they were asking. Why are you wasting time going fishing? And he said, if I put my mind to it constantly, it would almost run me wild. What's he talking about? If he put his mind to the ministry and all that constantly, he said, it would run me wild. He said, when you think of the tens and thousands of people out here in sin that don't know Christ, and I think, here I am, what can I do? But here's what I think. I cannot save one unless God called them. I can't do it. I couldn't save them anyhow. But all the Father has given me will come to me. So if he don't tell me where to go, then what can I do? See? But the thing to do is not be weary about it. Then I'd be worse than ever. And I get to sitting at home. Like the other day, I get so wound up. And the first thing you know, I'm so wound up, I got to go hunting. I've got to go fishing. I've got to get out with somebody. I've got to do something because I'm just a man, just a human being. And he asked people, do you understand that? No, most of them did not. But I thought he was a prophet. Say, look, I know Brother Bram was a prophet. If I'd have been there in that time, I would have understood. I would have known he needed a time off. And I would have been gracious with it. And I would have understood. Brother Bram says this. He says, if you want to know how you would have been in the days of Jesus, he said, look at how you are now. That's how you'd have been then. So look at how you are now. And you'd know whether you had a problem with him going off hunting and fishing all the time. You know, Brother Branham took some long hunting trips. Did you know that? Not just to run down to the river and go fishing on the Tennessee River, or run back in the woods on somebody's farm around here and go hunting. But he went on some hunting excursions where they went way up into the wilderness, where they had to take pack horses to get stuff up there. And he would be gone for a while. And you could talk to brothers like Brother Eddie Biscoe that went with him. And you find out that when Sunday come rolling around, while they were up there, they would have a little service. But he didn't go back home. Brother Bannum says in the Message of Experiences, he talked about getting 3 weeks vacation. 3 weeks vacation. Now, you think that's long? Listen to this. Brother Branham said one time he got 8 months vacation. What was the bride doing during that 8 months? Brother Branham said what he did was he got in his service, and the service just kept going on and on, one day after the next. And he said he really wore himself out. And so he took 8 months off. And he said, in other words, I couldn't get out. I was just in a nervous break. It just like to killed me. And I knew then that I must use a little more wisdom than what I had done. What was the wisdom he was talking about? See, he was, as long as people just kept coming, as long as they just kept pulling, he just kept giving, he kept giving. But then he realized he shouldn't have done it. You can get burnt out. You ever been there? You can get burnt out. When I first come here, this was before Brother Phil had started preaching. And so we didn't have an associate here, and I was just here by myself. And I feel like I couldn't get out. I felt like I needed to be here. And I felt like I just couldn't get away. If I did, things would go to pieces. And I just poured all my time into doing everything I could. And I didn't go anywhere. A year went by, and I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go back and visit Mom and Dad. I didn't go anywhere. We was coming around into another year. And it got to be about August or September of that year. And I come out in the kitchen, and all of a sudden something just hit me. And I said, I turned to Lydia, her birthday's in July. And I said, Lydia, I'm so sorry. I forgot all about your birthday. That birthday come and went. She didn't get no cake. She didn't get nothing. She didn't get nobody, you know, recognizing it was her birthday. Nobody even said happy birthday. And I'll tell you something about her. She never complained. And when I said, I'm so sorry, I said, I got so busy, I forgot all about it. She said, Dad, that's okay. I understand. But I wonder how many would understand. And so I took it come around then to February, and I believe February is when, is that when they have President's Day in February? And so Mina had a Monday off. And so I took off for the weekend, went down into South Carolina and came back up through North Carolina. And we came back on Monday. So we spent about 3 days gone. And when I was over there, anytime I went to North Carolina, I always went by and seen Brother Dan Daisley. And so I went by to see him, and then the last morning that I was going to be there, he called me and said, can your wife and him get something to eat there at the hotel? I said, I want to just go out with you. And I said, all right. So we were staying there at the Jameson Inn, so they went down to the little eating area and had breakfast and all that, and Brother Dan came and picked me up. He took me out to a place where they had some liver mush, they call it. It's good stuff. That's the only place you can find it. And anyway, we went there and was having breakfast. And he got to talking to me. And he didn't know what had happened. I didn't share with him. He didn't know what was going on. But God began to speak through him. And he said, Brother Jerry, you have got to get away sometimes. He said, you can't just stay there month in and month out preaching. He said, you're going to burn yourself out. He said, you need to take some time off every once in a while and get away and get refreshed. And he says, and then when you get refreshed, then you'll come back refreshed and you'll bring that refreshing to the people and they'll get refreshed. And then I thought about what I had done. I got so busy that I'd forgot even my daughter's birthday. You might think that's almost impossible to do, but it happened. If you'd have told me before that I'd ever do that, I'd told you, no, I won't. But I realized I can't just stay busy. Sometimes I got to take off. Sometimes I got to get some rest. Brother Branham says, what you need to do is get away and get quiet before God so he can bathe you with the refreshments from heaven. He said, you ever get out in the morning after the night's passed, early morning, and smell the fragrance? You ever go early on a morning and you find out early morning you get out there and the dew's hanging low and the tree's budding and the blossom's coming up and the perfume. And you go down the road and you smell honeysuckle and in the rose garden early on the morning. It's been quiet, nature has, through the night. It's got quiet and God bathed it with refreshing. That's what you need to do, is get away and get quiet so God can bathe you with the refreshing. Get alone to yourself. Now, I know I'm not the prophet. I know that what I face and go through, that his would be many times magnified. But I have learned over the 20 years that I've been here that it's a great responsibility. And there's been times when I've been so worn out, worn to a frazzle. Usually, I go away in the month of April. This April, I was prevented from it. I had some doctor's appointments that I had to keep. And then I had some prescriptions that couldn't get filled before a certain time in April. I get prescriptions filled every 90 days, and I had some that the insurance wouldn't fill until the end of the month. I got some prescriptions coming in. They're in actually at the pharmacy right now to be picked up tomorrow. And so I couldn't get away in April like I usually do. But all things work out together for the good. And I've got plans to go away in the month of May. And I'm going to go to West Virginia, and then I'm going up to Maryland. I've got an aunt and uncle up in Maryland that are having their 50th anniversary. And so the family from all over is getting together and going up there to be with them. And I'm going to spend some time off. And I know, I don't know whether you understand it or not, but, you know, I like to get outside. I get outside here as much as I can. I like to get outside. I like to smell the fresh air. I like to, but unless, maybe, I don't know, unless you are from the mountains, you might not understand. There's a certain fragrance in the air in the mountains, especially in the morning. And there's just something about it that's so refreshing to me. And I've got an aunt that she lives between two mountains. When I mean between two mountains, I mean between two mountains. And it takes a while for the sun to come up down there. That's what my dad used to joke around about. But I'd get out there early in the morning with a cup of coffee and sit out on the porch and just be able to smell the fragrance. I can't explain it, that you smell in the mountains. Brother Todd knows what I'm talking about. And there's something refreshing about it. And then there's something that I spend some time around there, and I go to church with them. And, you know, I know when I go to Ohio, too, they always ask me to preach when I go to Ohio. And you think, well, how are you getting any rest if they're asking you to preach? Because I don't pastor those people. So I can preach. You know, my brother called me the other day and was talking to me, and he was talking to me about something that had happened. And he was talking about how it affected him. He didn't tell me who, but said a family had left the church. He was talking about how it affected him and all that, and some things that were said and what more. And he says, I'm sorry, I don't mean to call you up and worry you with this. I said, oh, I don't worry over what's going on with you. He said, all right. I said, whatever's going on with you, don't bother me. You know, I'm your brother and all, and I love you, but I don't pastor up there. I said, what bothers me is my problems that I have. Your problems don't bother me. But that's the way it is. I go sometimes these other places, and I'm expected to preach a revival in May. And I go, but I'm not pastoring those people. And I'm just trying to get people saved. And I don't know where they fall within the grand scheme of God. But I do know one thing. I know when I'm being led of the Lord. I do know that. If I didn't know that, after all the years I've been preaching, then I'd be in a really sorry situation if I didn't know how to get the leading of the Lord. There's some brothers that say they got the Lord's leading, but then, you know, sometimes you find out that, you know, I feel led to go pastor over here, and they pastor over there a while. Now I feel led to go pastor over there, and they go pastor over there a while. Now I feel led to go down there to a bigger church and pastor, and they go down there and pastor there a while. I knew a man like that once. Brother Dan Daisy told me, he said he wouldn't know the will of God if it smacked him in the face. But I'm not running off and around like that. And, you know, think about all the time I'm here that I don't go nowhere. And I just stay right here and keep on laboring. So this message came to me. It came to me through when I was talking to my brother on the phone. And he mentioned something to me. He mentioned that scripture to me. And then I went from there. He mentioned a quote to me from Thy House. And so then I went from there. And I just, until I talked to him on the phone, I had no idea what I was going to preach this Sunday. And then you heard Brother Phil when he preached Thursday night. He said that I had spoke to him in the back room, told him I got a message the Lord laid in my heart. I knew then, by then I knew what the Lord, I don't remember what day it was my brother called me, but after he called me, I went to looking things up right away and finding some things. And so another thing why I'm on it, or no, I'm not on it, but another thing why I'm still here in the pulpit this morning, I ran across some quotes concerning Brother Branham talking about a voting. And I don't know if anybody's got any questions here about voting and so forth or on. But I know some people think you got to vote every year. Well, I've got a quote back in the office. Actually, it's back in the office. It's on my phone. But Brother Bram said, you don't take a vote every year. He said, especially on the pastor. He said, the pastor gets voted in and he just continues until, that's how he says it. He just keeps continuing on. So you don't have to vote on your pastor every year. He said, you don't have to vote on offices every year. If the officers fail to continue on, they just continue on. And I bring votes before the church when I feel led to do it. Or when I feel like it's necessary, it's needed at the time. And I wait around on it sometimes because I'm waiting for the right time. And I, one time, you know, we were a little bit in need of some trustees to be able to get things done around the church. And I said, well, I can't just go and ask somebody. I'm not going to just go ask somebody to just step down, because that isn't the way I seen it done. But I had to wait for the right time where we get some more trustees. And sometimes you don't maybe understand why I'm waiting, but I'm waiting for the right direction from the Lord and how to go about it. And there's timing in everything. And you got to do things in the right time. And we had a vote here was it last year? I think it was. About whether we would take out another loan or not. I'll be honest with you. Myself, I didn't even think we needed that vote. You might disagree with me, but we had talked to the Board of Trustees. We seen the needs. We knew how much money the church did have, and we seen how much money we were going to need to get these things done. But some of the brothers, I guess, felt we wanted to bring it before the church, so I did. But I didn't bring before you what we were going to do to vote on, because the way Brother Branham taught it, if those things are needed, then you get them done. You don't have to bring things that are needed before the church to vote on. Now, if we were going to build a baptistry onto this church, then we might bring that before a vote. Don't worry, somebody gets worried. Oh man, we just got this thing all set. Now he's thinking about tearing up the church again. I ain't just now thinking about it. I've been thinking about it for years. But we ain't going to do anything right now. Who knows? I don't know if we'll ever do anything with it. But a baptistry would be nice. And we'll just see what the future holds. But if we, you know, there's certain things we were going to do around the church, we'd take a vote on. But like the lights, we needed new lights in the church. So we didn't take a vote on whether we were going to get lights or not. We didn't even take a vote on what lights we were going to get. Brother Jim found these lights, showed me what they looked like, said, "What do you think?" And I said, "It looks like good lights to me." And so we got them. And you're enjoying them. Because it takes that dingy look out of the sanctuary and that look at where every once in a while one of them bulbs up here would just go out and it'd be dark right there. We don't have that no more. You know. Somebody say, "Well, maybe that was a sign." Yeah, it was, that we needed new lights. And but I pray that you'll understand where I'm coming from in this, and while I'm on it, last year when I went away for April, there was people stopped giving their tithing because I was gone, I guess. That's the only thing I could figure out. But don't stop getting your tithing just because I go away. I don't mean to make this sound carnal. But I still got an electric bill. I still got payments to make. I still got a house payment. So don't pout on me and stop giving your tithing because you don't think I should have went away. Say, "Well, I'll make it up when you get back." I need it all the time. I know I'm making this sound real carnal. And I don't mean to make it sound that way. But the way that I'm able to make it here is that I get a living off of this church. And that's scriptural. And the Bible says, if you don't give, he'll curse you with a curse. So I don't believe that. Well, it's the Bible. You'll find out. So how do you know whether people give or not? I don't know who all stopped giving. I was just told there were some folks that stopped giving while I was gone. It don't matter to me who you are. But I just thought I'd bring it up and kind of mention it. And hopefully you won't pout on me. And be understanding. Amen. Let's stand.